Good morning. That was a bit dramatic, the suspense. So, let's go here. There we go. All right, so I, first of all, let's give Emily a round of applause, because Bethany, sorry, you can give her, don't worry, give her a round of applause. She's done a stellar job this morning with hosting for the first time. And what she did is we sat down with a group of people a couple months ago, and we said, you know, preparation is key. If you want to prepare, you need to get ahead of the week. You need to be preparing into hosting and all of these things. So like clockwork on Monday, she messages me and she said, PJ, so what are you preaching on Sunday? So I said, Bethany, I am preaching on the series called Peter by Peter, and it is a series on Peter's life by Peter. And I'm really excited to share this with everybody, and I'm going to give you an update later in the week about how this is going to go. We're going through this, and this has been something that's been stewing for some time, and we put it in the preacher's plan that it is before we break for summer, we're going to have this 3 weeks from family camp right through now. It's going to be the series Peter by Peter. And then Thursday, I don't know if it was, it was me. I messaged Bethany, and I said to her, I think the plan's changed. And as I was preparing, I was like, I just got this thing on my heart for this week about legacy. And that it ties in with Father's Day, but there is a legacy call on fathers' lives. And I really believe that there is a responsibility for us to leave a lasting legacy. And this is something that's stewing. I realize that it's Thursday, it's 72 hours before go time. But just hold the space. It's not going to be Peter by Peter. It's going to be this thing on legacy. So the reason why we've got to give a round of applause, not only is it a first time, but we threw a bunch at her and I said, thank you for your preparation, but we're changing it up, and by Friday, I'll be able to give you really sort of where this is going. So what was supposed to be Peter by Peter, today is going to be about the faith of a father and building a legacy that lasts. And I probably could have just started with that, but it's something that it's just really been on my heart today. And in pre-service prayer, I think it was Helen that was saying, she just believes that fathers are going to be encouraged. Spiritual and physical fathers are going to be encouraged this morning. And I was, you take a swallow in your throat because you're like, oh, that's a lot of expectation. But I am trusting that the Spirit is moving. I'm trusting that the Spirit is going to move in your hearts. And today, I believe that legacies are going to be reshaped. I think everybody has got a call to leave a lasting legacy. But some do and some don't. And the individual that just jumps to mind, and when this came about, how this all came about, is this week I was thinking of Abraham. And I understand that Abraham had two names and Sarah had two names, but there was a shift over there in how God called him to be the father of many. But for the purposes of today, I'm just going to refer to Abraham as Abraham, the father of many. And I was thinking about, in preparation for the service, I was thinking that, yeah, we have an individual where there's two legacies. One that's defined by faith and one that's defined by impatience and control. One that's defined by faith, where you've got Isaac, in which the covenant is established, and one that is based on control, where you've got Ishmael. And you've got these two legacies that live, and what better way for us to just take some meat from that this morning and speak about how that applies to our lives. And as I speak about this, this is a Father's Day message, but I would say that it applies to the woman in the church too. When we're speaking about faith and we're speaking about a legacy that lasts, there is meat for you this morning, so don't switch out. And I'm asking for those that are not fathers, those that are young, those that are old that are not fathers, I'm asking you just to hold on one bit until my fourth point to show you that this message is just as much for you as those that have physical children. So hang with me and stick with me. Are you with me? Okay, that's good. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are a God of promise. I thank you that you are a God that calls us, and you are a God that is shaping us. And you are a God that is shaping us, and you're shaping the next generations too. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that even when we plan to speak, you are the one that ultimately wants a word spoken. And I pray that your word will be spoken this morning. Lord, I pray that hearts will be softened. Lord, I pray that the word would soak in, and I pray that it would resonate. This morning, I pray that there would just be a shift in the legacies of the lives of people in this house this morning. Lord, I pray that they recognize the significance of what it is that they are building. I pray that you hear this prayer in your name. Amen. All right. So, legacy. Legacies. It is something that everybody wants to leave. And when you go and look up the definition of legacy, the first thing that comes up is about leaving a financial legacy. But then you go down and it's like your legacy is something that you will have an impact in your family's life, in the people that you engage with. You will have an impact. You will leave a legacy. All people leave a legacy. It can be a positive impact and it can be a negative impact. A legacy could be physical. Physical, you know, we always joke that Victoria and Julia have got my nose. And it's like there's a physical legacy that will be left, that my daughter's going to walk around with some grown man's nose. It's always funny when you say that. But there's also the things that are intangible that you leave. There's also the legacies of your faith. There's the legacies of your fear. There's the legacies of how angry you are. There's a legacy of are you a generous person? How is it that you want to be remembered? And I want to say to you this morning, because it's important, that if you are here today and you're like, PJ, you've got one more line before I switch out, I want to leave that line with you right now. And that is to say, you've got to ask yourself what it is that you're building. So much of the world today will tell you that you've got to build something over here. You've got to build a financial legacy. You've got to build success, and that's how you would be remembered. If you think of the name of the Oppenheimer name, it's a rich name that many people know, that's a name that's associated with wealth. When people ask me, those that it's more sort of in Europe and South Africa, when they ask me what my surname is, and I say it's Barclay, and they're like, are you part of the bank? And I'm like, unfortunately not. That's not, there was a breakdown over there, that's some other family in the heritage of the Scottish clans. I'm not part of that legacy. But I want to tell you, the one line that you've got to remember today, it's not about what you build here. It's more about where you trust a God that is building something that's going to be eternal. It's not about what you're building. It's more about how you're trusting. And I promise you, if you get that right, I promise you, you will leave a legacy that lasts. All of you. It's not about what you build here. It's about what you trust. And now we got to go across to our friend Abraham. Abraham is, in his name, he's the father of many. And this is a guy that is somewhat complex, because he's known as the father of the nations. The original covenant in which the lineage of Jesus is going to come comes through Abraham. And you think he's in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11, and we're going to touch on that. And he's known as this amazing guy, but he was also flawed. He was also a guy that was, as much as he had this faith, he was also a guy that also had fear. He was also afraid at times. Twice, he had a beautiful wife, Sarah, and it is said that she was a beautiful wife, almost close to what Mel looks like. But she was known as a beautiful woman, and he was afraid twice. In Gerar and in Egypt, you hear the times where he said, this isn't my wife, this is my sister. And he did that because he was afraid. He didn't want to be killed so that they would take his wife. So he said, this is just my sister. And that brought a whole bunch of trouble. And this is a guy that also we'll learn about was impatient and tried to do things his own way. But what do we remember him for? I can bring this up, but we remember him for his faith. We remember him for the things that he's done, and that's the legacy that we get to come under, and we'll speak about that towards the end. We get that inheritance because of Abraham's faith some 4,000 years ago in where that covenant was made and the promise was spoken over Abraham and his family. So there's 4 points that I want to leave you with. But I want to tell you is that faith is important. Faith is not something we can speak about, yes, I believe. But faith is so important because that is the very thing that is going to shape a lasting legacy. Not what we build tomorrow in the office. Not what we build in terms of a house that we would leave or a financial inheritance. It's the faith that is going to shape the next generations. And that's how you are going to be remembered. And I'm telling you now, everybody over here, and I don't even have to ask you to put your hands up, but I know I'm speaking to all of you, that each and every one of you want to leave a legacy that lasts. And if you don't, come speak to me afterwards because we need to have a conversation. You need to leave more than what it is your life over here, but there's got to be something that leaves a lasting impact. And I'm telling you, the key to that is faith. So the first thing I want to speak about faith is that faith trusts in the promises of God even when it doesn't make sense. Okay, I'm going to take it up over here in Genesis 12. So come with me to Genesis 12. And just go back up there, Christian. Just as we're going through that over there, that's my grandfather on my father's side, Harry. And I never met him. He died when my dad was 18. But he leaves a legacy. He was an accountant. I'm an accountant too. And I just always heard stories about a man that was stern and a man that was strict. But at the same time, when I hear some other stories about him, he was a man that was courageous. He was a man that did some pretty cool things. And I never had the opportunity to meet him. But that's Harry right over there. Henry George Barclay, I believe it is. Anyway, let's go to Genesis 12. And in Genesis 12, this is where the promise starts. Okay? And this is an instruction that God gives to Abraham all the way back in Genesis 12. And I'm reading from the NIV. I have put it up over here, and I've highlighted some words that I want to just speak to. But first of all, it goes over here. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country. Can we just start off and say, the Lord said? Can you say with me, the Lord said? Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Say, I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went. Say, so Abraham went. Abraham. Abraham. Right. As the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and the possessions that had accumulated, and the people that he had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. This is a powerful promise. And there's a couple of things that I jump at. I'm going to start at the bottom. First of all, Abraham was 75 years old. I can tell you now that guy in this day and age would be about 5, maximum 10 years away from maybe getting a traveler's visa because he'd be too old to travel as being seen by the authorities. But 75 fresh and he's ready to tackle the world. 75 and he's never had a child in his life. 75 and he's never had a child in his life, and God speaks to him and says, I'm going to make a great nation with you. I'm going to make a great nation with you. That is my promise. 75. You think about that. Okay, maybe I heard a couple weeks ago that Robert De Niro was 82 and he fathered another child. So maybe it's less of a problem for Abram, but maybe his wife Sarah is going to have some challenges conceiving a child. And it's, you know, you don't want to question God, but you do want to say, God, you need to look at some of the facts that exist over here. And that's not really relevant to God. What he said is he's spoken a promise over Abraham and his family's life. The Lord said, I will show you. And Abraham went. That kind of faith holds on to the promises of God, even when it doesn't make sense. So many times we can get a word that has been spoken over our life, a word that has been spoken into our life. And I'm going to show you this like another two times where both Sarah and Abraham actually laugh at the thinking of having a child. Is Abraham laughs, Sarah laughs, thinking, man, this is crazy. Do you not understand the circumstances? This doesn't make sense. And yet, Abraham went. Abraham held unto the promise. And it starts over there. It starts with a thinking that, you know what? God's spoken, and I trust in a Lord that is far more powerful than me. I don't need a map for my life. I can hold on to the promise. I don't need proof in my life. I can hold on to God's word. And so often what we're looking for is we're looking for a map that crafts out our roots that we've got to live in our life. And yet all we have to do is hold on to the promise that God will show you the way. What you've got to start doing is you've got to start moving in the absence of the map and hold on to the promise. And then what we try and do is we say, well, the word's been spoken. I need proof. Did God say? What is happening? What is going to happen? Lord, just tell me, did I hear right? I'm not sure. I haven't heard you like this before. You don't need proof. You just need to hold on to God's word. God is speaking and He wants to speak to you. He doesn't just want to speak to Len. He doesn't just want to speak to Helmut. He wants to speak to you. And in having a relationship with Jesus, you get to know His voice. Abraham had a relationship with the Lord. How's your relationship with the Lord? Because when you have a relationship with the Lord, you hear His voice. And all of a sudden, the word comes, the promise comes that you can hold on to. And I know from my personal life, I can tell you, I always say it, but I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a man of massive faith. I've got this picture. I actually asked Mel when we were driving to church this morning. Is Mr. Bean is a big, he's known here in Canada. Mr. Bean, yeah? And I was thinking this morning, when I was just thinking about this, because I want to be real with you, that I haven't got it all figured out. I wouldn't say I'm a man of like massive, bold faith that at 75 he's going to say, I'm going to move somewhere. At 75, I'm 42 and I don't want a fourth child. And it's like, Lord, please, just this is enough. Okay, I would say, I got this picture of Mr. Bean. And there's that one episode where he goes to the public swimming pool. And he's on the diving board and he's walking all confidently. And then he walks to the edge and he's like, oh my goodness. And then he's crawling along. And he like looks over and he gets all afraid and he doesn't want to jump. And then what he wants to do is he wants to turn around and go back down the stairs. And these young boys come and they push him along. And he's sort of climbing down and he's like holding on. And it's all crooked like this. You guys got to go watch it on YouTube. And then one of the boys stands on his fingers and he drops off and he falls into the pool. And the pool catches him. But I'm the Mr. Bean on the top of the jumping board. I'm that guy that goes and says, whoa, this is a lot, Lord. I understand that when big things are spoken over your life, it is scary. When you're at the 10-meter diving board and you're looking over, it is scary to jump. But I'm telling you now that if God says jump, you need to trust that there is a deep enough pool of water at the bottom that is going to catch your fall and it's going to be refreshing. What kind of faith have you got? I remember February 11th, 2015, and this was a point where I had the opportunity. I was at a crossroads where I could either go back to South Africa, or I could stay here in Canada. I remember the night I was in my office. It was dark. I've spoken about it before. I was the last person in the office. And for all intents and purposes, every tick of the box said I should go back to South Africa. Everyone. Even that afternoon, I had someone come into my office, one of my bosses, and said, PJ, the opportunity in South Africa is an amazing opportunity. We're not going to stand in your way. Like, this is something that we couldn't necessarily offer you right now. So for all reasons, it was time for me. I was like, okay, this, I'm going to go back. And that night, it was 5 to 9. It is now 6 o'clock in the South African morning. And I promised them that I would respond that morning. So it would have been the next morning in South Africa. And I was down in the office. And I just prayed before I typed this email because I was wrestling. I can't necessarily explain the wrestle, but all I remember the word as clearly as I could hear it was stand still. Stand still. You've now got expectations of people in South Africa that think you're coming back, whether it be work, whether it be family, whether it be friends. And all I got was the word that said stand still. Dear Bester, thank you very much for the opportunity, but I respectfully decline. Close the laptop. Cry. I'm like, this is everything inside of here. It's just, I understood what it meant to be obedient and trust God when He said, stand still. What does it mean standing still where you are and walking away from what you know? Walking away from what was comfortable. Walking away from consistently 25 degree temperatures. Having to stay with you lot. I mean that with a great amount of love. But I can tell you that the moment I clicked send that email and I was over the tears, things started moving. And it this is something you can just see it. It was just one by one, things started to move. And it wasn't comfortable. I can tell you now, it wasn't comfortable. I'm still the guy that hangs on the jumping board and it's like, oh, do I have to jump? Let's figure it out. But I'm telling you now, faith that shapes legacies is the faith that holds onto the promise of the Lord, even when it doesn't make sense. And I look back, it's been 10 years now, 10 years just past the date, and I think of how my life has changed. And I stand over here, and it is a testimony of me having the faith to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you when you tell me to stand still. It didn't make the decision any easier. It hasn't made the journey any easier. What I can tell you is that I have the confidence that I'm walking in the will of the Lord. And I'm telling you, there is a call, there is a will for your life. And by being faithful to what God is saying to you, you will see the hand of the Lord when you look back and say, my God, thank you for what you've done. The second one that I want to say is that faith has the ability to wait on God's timing, not ours. So often, we find ourselves in a situation where faith is tested. And we'll speak a bit about testing of faith, but often what we do is we find ourselves where we want to push God along. Christian, you can move down. It's going to go past one more, next one. Just so that point sinks in. Over there, that's my That's my grandfather on my mom's side. He was a fisherman, and his name was Dickie Taylor. And he fought in World War II. Both my grandfathers fought in World War II. And I actually met him. I would consider that I was his favorite. And if my cousins ever listened to this, they would deny it. But I remember we grew up in a massive family I've spoken about with lots of cousins. And I remember one day, and he died. Actually, I found him dead when I was four. But I remember a time, I would have been younger than Evan, I figured it out. And he lived down by the coast and we lived in the city. And I remember my mom calling me from the back garden. And she said, Papa is on the call. And I ran to the phone and it was still one of those dialer phones that you like ring around there. And I'm like, hello, Papa. And he's like, hey, can't wait to see you for Easter. I've got a present for you. And it was a cricket set. It's my first cricket set. Had the wickets, not that you guys really know what that is, but it's the wickets and the bat. And I remember arriving there late in the afternoon, and all my cousins were waiting to play with this cricket set. And Papa said, no, you got to wait for Peter because it's Peter's present. And I got the present, and all of them came back, and it was like Dale and Matt and Mark. They were like, hey, can we play with your cricket set? I'm like, yeah, you can. But they had to wait for Peter to come get the cricket set. And when he came to visit, because my nan had passed, when he came to visit, my mom always said he came for a time where she had to fatten him up. I always got these nice candies. And I just remember, tall man, I remember always sitting on the haunches. But the reason why I say this is that I had that memory. For 4 years, I had that memory of a man that didn't have much. But I remember the stories of, this was a man that would go to church. This was a man that had a certain level of pride in his family. And there were some tough times that he would have gone through. 7 kids, gran and grandpa sleeping in the house because that's how it was. His fishing boat sank. The house burnt down. There's a lot of things that guy faced. And it's just, yeah, you just think of the faith that God is faithful. So that is Dickie Taylor. But let's talk about faith that waits on God's timing. And I want to speak to you about Ishmael. And this is the part that kind of got me in the week. And it's like, just thinking about Ishmael, who was, this was Abraham's work. So it had been now 10 years from that promise from Genesis 12. There had been a promise that had been spoken over Abraham and Sarah, and it wasn't coming to pass. So he had to wait 10 years. And again, 10 years, people start thinking, they always joke that the clock is ticking. Well, Lord, the clock is ticking. It's been 10 years and Sarah's not getting any younger. Like, maybe we need to do something to help you along so that we could actually fulfill the promise that has been spoken over our life, that we'd be the father of nations, that a great generation would come through. So I want to take you to, we're going to go over here for our Galatians 4. So this kind of sums it up, and I'll reference back to Genesis. But in Galatians 4 here, his son by the slave woman, Hagar, so it doesn't say it over there, but Hagar was the slave woman from Egypt, was born according to the flesh. But his son by the free woman was born, and as a result of the divine promise. So you've got, this is where the legacy starts to happen. So you've got Ishmael, and we'll chat about Isaac just now. But Abraham, I wouldn't necessarily say had Isaac out of being disobedient. But Abraham was impatient. Abraham heard the promise. He heard the promise that I'm going to be a father of nations. But then what he did is he wasn't so comfortable with having received the how or the why and when is this going to happen. So after 10 years had passed, Abraham had thought, perhaps the Lord had forgotten about me. Sarah's not getting any younger. I'm certainly not getting any younger. I am getting a bit old, right? I'm sitting now 85, and I've still got to wait for this promise that is about to come. So Abraham gets impatient. And that impatience is something that resonates with me so much. Impatience is not necessarily living by faith. Because when a promise is spoken, what it requires is sometimes just by being patient, that there is the expression of faith when you wait on the Lord. How many of you are waiting on the Lord for promises that have been spoken over your life that have yet come to pass? And what you do sometimes, and I am guilty of this, I've had to confess on this sometimes, because I know some of the promises that have been spoken over my life. And I can tell you now, and I confess to you, that there are times where I try and orchestrate myself. I try and pull the strings myself and say, Lord, I know the promise has been spoken, but let me try and help you over here. Let me try and just get the ball rolling. Maybe that's what you meant when you spoke. But what you need to do is you need to understand that when God speaks promise over your life, that promise will come to fruition, and you need to wait on the Lord. And that waiting is the most frustrating part. And the enemy, I've said this before, is the one who speaks in doubt. He's the one that will make you question. Say, did God say, where is God now? Was this actually a real promise? And that's the importance of being amongst believers. That's the importance of being amongst those that are spiritually mature, that can help you wait on that promise and not try and force something out. Victoria is currently going through the stage now where she's starting to lose teeth. And she's lost one, nice big one that's come through of you, and she's so proud about it. But there's two others that have got loose. And every day what she does is this bottom one, she's just trying to work it out. She's just trying to work it out, and she's like hoping that maybe one day it'll just fall out, because she's seen one of her friends at school where it just popped out in a music lesson. So maybe that's what I got to do. I got to help it along. What I try and tell her, and what Mel tries and tells her, is that, my sweetheart, if you try and help that tooth too much, it's going to bleed and it's going to hurt. And I'm telling you today, when you try and help God fulfill the promises over your life, when it's not your time to do the help, and I'm not saying do nothing. I'm saying faith is active. Faith is an active piece. But when you try to start forcing something to come out or come to pass, there will be blood and there will be pain. Whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, it is not something that is pleasant. Sometimes we see ourselves we look at kids and we see we're not much different. When we try to force the teeth out in our life, the promises out in our life. And that's what Abraham did. And it was from an impatience. And I'm telling you today that if you want to leave a legacy of promise that is over your life, you need to be patient. You need to be patient and wait on God's timing, not yours. And the third one for me kind of hits home. This one is faith is willing to sacrifice what is most precious. This is a tough one. When I read this one, I do not necessarily grasp that level of faith. That is the one where I'm clinging. I'm trying to walk back on the stairs. But faith that trusts, faith that sacrifices that which is precious, trusting that God will provide. I want to take you to, we can move over there. I've actually got a double cross over there. And this is on Genesis 22. Sorry, I just see the reference. I didn't update it over there. It's Genesis 22. And I want to pick it up from verses 6, 7, and 8. So understand now, Isaac has come. The promise has come. What God said, just one child. And remember that the promise was, I'm going to give you descendants as numerous as the stars, as much as the sands on the shore. And I'm just going to give you one kid by the time that you're 99. By the time that you're 100, I'm going to give you one kid. So understand how precious this little child would be that I've waited and the Lord has provided. Hallelujah, the Lord has provided. He's given you something. And this is what I love about this part of here. And it goes, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love. Say, whom I love. Whom I love, yeah. Isaac. And go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Abraham answered, God himself. So we move on a bit more. And this is now, he's loaded the donkey, he's loaded the wood for the sacrifice, and he takes Isaac one morning. And Isaac is walking, and he says, Dad, you've got the wood, you've got the necessary equipment, but I don't see the lamb. And this picks up in verse 8 of here, and it says, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Now, just for a moment, the Lord has asked Abraham to sacrifice the thing that he loves most. Waiting all your life, 100 years, for a baby. For a child that fulfills a promise that says that you're going to have as many children as numerous as the stars. You're going to be a father of many nations. And now the Lord's asking you to sacrifice that very precious thing. That very precious thing. He takes one morning, he walks up the mountain, and Isaac's behind him, and he's like, Dad, like, where's the lamb? It's just consistently, the Lord will provide. Can you say with me, the Lord will provide? And then what he does is he puts Isaac on the altar, stacked with wood. I don't know if I could do this. Good thing the Lord never asked me to do this. He'll test me other ways, but I hope one day it's not this, and by grace of Jesus, we don't have to. But do not lay your hand on the... So he goes up, there's the altar, and he lifts up the dagger to now kill his son, sacrifice his son. Talk about father issues. Do not lay your hand. A voice came out and said, do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. My goodness. How many things in your life do you love? How many things in your life do you see being precious that you hold on to, that you cling on to, that you've waited so long to have in your life, and the Lord says, let it go? Are you prepared to demonstrate that sort of faith in letting go the things that are precious? Are you willing to demonstrate the faith when the Lord says, let go of your money? Let go of your children if it's into a ministry. No, I want them to be an accountant. No. I'm going to let them go, and I'm going to let them be. I'm going to let them travel the world, and I'm going to let them do the things that they need to do. And if my mom's listening to this one, that was not a reference to me. It just came out of my mouth. But how often do we hold on to the things that are most precious? Trusting that the Lord will provide. I'm telling you now that a person of faith that shows generosity, that shows that I will spare no expense at the instruction of the Lord, will shape a faith that will last generations. And it's the act, it's obedience. Yes, Abraham was obedient. He listened. But more importantly, Abraham demonstrated faith that the Lord will provide. Hebrews 11 verses 9. Sorry, verses 17 all the way to 19. It says over here, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. That kind of faith that the Lord will provide, and the Lord is sovereign, and He knows best, should be the very thing that governs your house, should be the very thing that governs your decisions. Not necessarily storing up and holding on to, but saying, God, what is it that you're asking me to release? What is it that you're asking me to release? And I will trust that you will provide. And there's been testimony upon testimony of where the Lord's provision has even come in this house. Whether it be a car, whether it be a jug of milk, whether it be a bag of groceries, whether it be a job. And sometimes what we need to do is we need to release it. A couple weeks ago, we were in the process of selling a house. And we tried to orchestrate our own plan. We tried to think, well, you know, if there's a way we could just move this around and that around, perhaps we could make this work in the way that we wanted it to work. And it was May long weekend. It was the Monday. And we had signed an agreement that our house had to have sold on April 24th. Had to have sold. And, well, you could still take the house, but you weren't sure if you're actually going to get the financing for it. So you had to lift the condition that your house was going to be sold. And in the lead up to this, it was me. I'm sometimes very much like Jacob, like a schemer, like trying to make these things work. Like, Lord, let me help you over here. Let me help you with the prosperity that's going to come over my life. And what I did is, Mel was sleeping that afternoon, and I was just downstairs, and I just felt firmly that God said, let this go. You need to let this go. And I want to tell you, we had one viewing for our house, and they just told us that it was a double viewing. So they came and they did a reviewing. They had one viewing, one person, and they said, we're going to wait for the elections to pass 4 months. Maybe we'll come back. So we had no one. And Thursday, we had to sign the documents. And that Monday afternoon, Mel was sleeping. I woke up and I said, Mel, I went to go and sit on the bed. And I said, Mel, believe the Lord's telling us to let this house go. We need to let it go. And I was clinging. I was holding on to it. It's a beautiful home. I love it. Our kids have grown up over there. I can still feel the carpet between my toes. Like all the parks. And you go down to the river valley. And the Lord said, you need to let this go. Mel was like, I agree. I've been thinking the same thing. I was like, well, you could have told me sooner. So what we did is we let this house go. The next day we had one viewing. One viewing in 45 minutes. And on the day of 6 o'clock, April 24th, we had an offer. In our house, on our house, willing to go, ready to go. And the Lord provided. And sometimes He doesn't provide when you hold on. Sometimes the Lord, you can hold on and you can fight. But at the same time, what you got to do is sometimes let go of the things that you hold precious. Because as long as you're holding those things on, your hand isn't open to receive. And I'm not standing here preaching a prosperity gospel, but what I am telling you is that you've got to trust that the Lord will provide. He cares for you. He cares for your family. And where I want to finish off of here is faith builds a legacy. Faith builds a legacy that is going to outlive you. Faith leaves a legacy that is going to be far more than the life that you live over here. And I want you to know that you are going to leave something when you die. It could be good. It could be negative. Your kids are going to be shaped by what it is that you bring. They could be shaped by your fear and the way you've lived your life, the way that you've lashed out in anger, the way in which you get frustrated. And these traits start seen in the kids. Like, it's funny for me to hear the words my kids say that they try and repeat me or Mel. But more importantly, When your life is right and it's aligned with faith, you get to leave a legacy that is going to last. And you need to ask yourself, which is the legacy that you want to leave? We have such a responsibility in this country, in this world, to set the next generation and the generation and the generation that is going to go beyond us. And it starts here by our faith. It starts here, it was prayed this morning, is that we're the ones that are going to fan the flame for our kids. We're the ones that are going to fan the flame for the next generation. Because when we leave this earth, what is going to be left but the things that we have shaped our kids with, have shaped that generation with, to take it on, to pass that torch on, so to speak, that they can go and shape so forth and so on. 4,000 years ago and some, Abraham found himself under a promise and a covenant with the Lord. And today, we still speak about the faith that was demonstrated there. How is it that you want to be remembered? Abraham's life didn't stop at when he died. Abraham left a legacy that went to many, many, many generations, and still many, many generations to come. In Romans 4, it speaks about the inheritance by faith that we come under the legacy of Abraham. So you think about this over here. The word that was spoken over Abraham was that he would be a father of many. And I said to you when I started this that you may be sitting here today and you haven't even got kids. Well, I'm telling you, by your faith in the blood of Jesus and what Jesus has done for you, when you come under that covenant, you assume the inheritance and the calling and the identity that is spoken over Abraham goes over you and your family too. You too are a spiritual father of many. You too are a father of many nations. You too have that covenant that was spoken over there. And it's because of that that you can hold on to the promises that have been spoken over your life and the promises that are to come. The question is, are you willing to trust? And that's why I tell you that it's not about what you build here, but it's about how much are you willing to trust. I'm going to call the band up. When Abraham sacrificed Isaac, was about to sacrifice Isaac, God said, "Truly I know that you fear me." And I love this in Psalm 112. It says here, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. They will inherit the generations." How many of you fear the Lord? How many of you find yourself in the position of where you trust God in every aspect of your life? And we find ourselves in a situation where we're looking at Abraham, who's remembered for his faith, but Abraham wasn't perfect. And this is a gem for me, because I want to. There's two things that stand out for me about Abraham's life. Is first of all, Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born, which tells me that even if the promises that have been spoken over your life have not yet come to pass, you can believe it, that God will see it come to pass. And the second thing, and this stood out for me, was God blessed Ishmael. And we find ourselves in a situation where we think of Isaac, and the covenant came through Isaac, because that was God's promise. And Ishmael came through Abraham's impatience. And Ishmael was loved, but eventually he had to go away because it was causing strife within the camp. And you'd think that this was man's own doing. But because of the promise over Abraham, even Abraham's own doing was blessed. And I want to pick this up over here. This is 22. Genesis 22 and verses 20, and it says, "As for Ishmael, I have heard you, I surely will bless him." And I want to say to you this morning that if you find yourself in a position where you've made decisions, or you're the product of decisions. Maybe you sit and you find yourself in a generation where you are the product of a father who did whatever, who was a father that was governed by fear, who was a father that has shaped you. Possibly it's not what God's plan was. I'm here to tell you this morning that God even blessed Ishmael. And as we believers come under the inheritance that is offered to Abraham, we too get the blessing over the Ishmael circumstances in our life. But I'm telling you today that by making a choice by faith is a choice that will shape generations to come. Which one do you want to be? How do you want to be remembered? As we stand up, you can stand up with me. Today, I believe promise needs to be spoken over the fathers in the house. Promise needs to be spoken to the fathers in the house that are here. Just on Father's Day, I believe that legacies are going to be reshaped this morning. Legacies that maybe have been distorted from prior generations. Legacies that may be distorted by your own doing. And God blessed Ishmael. God wants to bless you this morning. And maybe there are people that need to take that step of faith. Maybe there are people that are standing on that 10-meter diving board this morning, and they're looking over, and they're afraid, and they can't go back. And they're busy hanging on the board, not trusting that there is a pool deep enough to catch them. And I want to say to you this morning that perhaps just today, that step of faith, just that release, holding on to God's promise, a promise that is good for you, a promise that is good for me. And I want that spoken over the fathers in the house this morning. And I want to say to you this morning that if you have a year and you haven't got a child, you have a year and you haven't got a physical child, I want to tell you that just by your faith in Jesus, you assume the inheritance and the identity of Abraham, and you too are a father of nations. And perhaps the enemy has been causing you to doubt that. And I want to speak the promise over your life this morning. How do you want to be remembered? I'm quite an emotional guy. And on Friday, Victoria was very excited to give me a Father's Day gift. And she did it at school. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. And she couldn't wait till Father's Day, so she did it yesterday. And I took this out. And I got to get a lawnmower for Father's Day, but this was probably the most precious gift that I could get. And it says over here, all about my dad. My dad's name is Peter. He is lovely. He does a good job at his office. My dad's favorite thing to do on the weekends is spend time with my little sister and I. She forgot Evan. My dad is always saying, you're doing a good job. Come on, man. We got to tell the generations that are coming that they are doing a good job. We got to fuel them on to something more than is available today. And I know how much my dad loves me when he's saying, I know how much dad loves me when he always is making me laugh. My favorite thing to do with my dad is ride my bike with him. I love my dad more than anything. Love, Victoria. This is amazing. But I'm hoping that when I die and Victoria rewrites this, she says, my dad's name is Peter. He is a God-fearing man. He was faithful when it mattered most. Even though when he was impatient, even though that when he was afraid, he still trusted in the promises that were spoken over his life. The favorite thing to do with my dad was to go to church. The favorite thing to do with my dad was spend time in the Word and having my faith shaped. My dad is always saying that God is mighty and powerful, that God is our Jehovah provider. I know how much my dad loves me because of how much he loves the Lord. My favorite thing to do with my dad is to worship and pray. I love my dad more than anything, but who I love most is the Lord. How do you want to be remembered? Your legacy gets to reshape. Your legacy is not defined by what your dad did, not defined by previous generations. It's defined by the faith that you show. And this morning, I believe that you need to be encouraged and legacies need to be rewritten. So as we worship, I'm going to open up the altar here and I'm asking you to be bold this morning to make a declaration for your families and for the generations to come that faith will rise up in your homes and faith will leave the legacy that matters most.